lot of eyes on Saskatoon yesterday as Prime Minister Mark Carney was there to meet all the premiers, and the agenda was to strengthen Canada's economy, eliminate interprovincial trade barriers, focus on national infrastructure proposals in order to fast-track projects across Canada. Walking in with all the other premiers, Premier Doug Ford serenaded everyone.
Love is in the air.
Let me go to one of the judges now to see if he was a little pitchy or he was just a great singer. It's senior reporter Lisa Schick who was there. What'd you think of his singing, Lisa?
Well, his singing was all right. What I preferred is when he compared the Prime Minister to Santa Claus. He was coming with a big sleigh full of toys, and then he's going to go back home and see what he can do.
He did say that 6 hours after all those meetings. You were there in Saskatoon, and what was the overall messaging our premiers and others wanted Carney to know?
The overall message, honestly, coming out of those meetings was everybody is really positive about how this is going. All of the premiers are coming out saying, you know, we're excited about the possibility of some of these projects. We're excited about Premier Danielle Smith talking about the immediate change of tone with the new federal government. Just a lot of positive talk around that table.
Yeah, and everyone seemed chummy going in and chummy coming out as well, too. What was it like? Like, this was a national headline yesterday, and you were there to cover it. It must have been packed, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Like, when you look at the video, it just kind of looks like, you know, an empty room with a big long table and 14 people. But what you don't see is the other side of that room where it's standing room only, kind of got you get your elbows up to get from one end to the other, filled with reporters.
Senior reporter Lisa Schick. Now, let's focus a little more on our premier, Scott Moe. His messaging was what?
He was talking about things being really positive as well. But what struck me about what they were talking about was this Western trade corridor. It came up a few times in a few different answers. Obviously, very positively by Premier Scott Moe, talking about, you know, this could be a generational opportunity for the country. Now, of course, this is a trade corridor that the Western and Northern premiers talked about just recently in their meeting. It would go from kind of northeastern BC all the way to Port of Churchill in Manitoba and then possibly up into the Arctic, because obviously those trade routes are getting opened up as well. And they're talking about, you know, this could be a way to get more product to Asia. This could be a way to get more product to Europe and doing that work to kind of be less reliant on the U.S. when it comes to trade.
So what happens now next? As you said, everyone left happy and waiting for Santa, I guess, to show up with what?
Yeah, I guess that's the question, right? Some of us were hoping, expecting that there was going to be a kind of a list of those nation-building projects that they were going to start working toward, that the federal legislation that's going to be coming down will be able to be worked on. We didn't get a list, but they're saying, you know, some things will come on, some things will drop off. It's just working toward those things.
I did hear, though, and this was encouraging to our ag community, it does sound like Moe and Carney are both working to remove Chinese tariffs, right, on Canadian agriculture and, of course, seafood products, right?
Yes, you know, there was a question about that, and the Prime Minister was asked, you know, are you willing to get rid of those tariffs on Chinese EVs, which is kind of the impetus for those tariffs on Canadian agri-food product from China. He didn't say whether or not, he just kind of said, you know, our ministers are engaging with China, we're trying to figure this out. And then Premier Moe obviously agreed, saying that is how this is going to be figured out.
Okay. Senior reporter Lisa Schick from Saskatoon yesterday as the Prime Minister met with all the premiers. Appreciate the update, Lisa. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Our air quality, Kevin, right now at a 2, low risk, and the forecast is this afternoon it might bump up to maybe a 4. which is a moderate risk. Certainly not as lousy as it was on the weekend, where it canceled a lot of, you know, baseball practices. Flag football was pretty much shut down.
And I ran into a family member as we were just kind of out and about, and she said, yeah, we had to kind of pivot and figure out what to do with the kids because flag football was canceled for the day. So
a decent day today, and not so great when we take it up north, though, right now, because 10 more communities are having to evacuate.
Yeah, we're talking about 7,500 people in LaRonge and that area, so about a 20-kilometer radius around LaRonge. And this is, remember, on top of the more than 8,000 people that have already been forced from their homes because of wildfires burning across this province. So you tally that up, and it's at least 15,000 people right now. We're getting to close to Manitoba numbers that have 17,000. And then I think there are about 5,000 or so in Alberta. So almost, not quite, but almost 40,000 people, 37,000 people across the prairies out of their homes right now because of wildfires.
And we kind of touched on this yesterday with David Phillips from Environment Canada, but it is just this huge ridge of high pressure. If you look at the satellite, it's all clear, and it's right over Alberta, Saskatchewan into Manitoba, and whatever, you know, rain comes off the West Coast is being deflected right around us. And we just can't seem to get a break there with a good soaking rain at this point. And even the long-range forecast looks like, you know, mid-20s and still really dry.
You see pictures of LaRonge, and it looks like Mars. It literally does look like Mars, where you look at the sky and it's just this kind of a orangey red, and, you know, the smoke wall right there. It's like unbelievable.
Yesterday, I was coming down the Louvain there, the south end there, past those hotels in Harbor Landing area, and you could see in the parking lot a lot of Northerners, and it was easy to see them because many of them were just in a long line outside the hotel waiting, and you know, just their bags beside their car. Their cars, you could see some were very covered in from ash, and it's one of those moments where I just look and I thought, man, that's got to be just horrible.
Well, all kinds of
having to come to Regina from the far north with just a bag or two and leaving it all behind.
All kinds of challenges. And remember, too, when you get the call to eventually go back, you would think, oh, that's great. But you don't necessarily what you're going back to. Will your home be damaged? Will it still be standing? Will it be gone? And this is the reality that thousands across this province now have to face.
All right, let's go to City Council. They're back today and talking about YQR Distillery. Now, I remember that's in the old Agribition building.
Yeah.
It was going to be a pub. It was going to be a restaurant. Remember a few years ago
Grand we heard plans.
That. Grand plan. It was a drive-through for booze, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much all it came to.
Of course, the timing was kind of unfortunate for this venture because COVID was right around the time they'd announced it, and then COVID came in. So like many businesses, it had a hard time. But now there's a special council meeting today, and they are looking at the future of YQR Distillery. Apparently, Real hasn't collected any money in terms of its lease for the last 6 months or so. So now they're looking at a new lease agreement, and does another business come in there now?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And of course, we still haven't heard about the Queen City X, but we did get an email that this Friday, right?
We will get the lineup, yeah.
And not the same Midway as in years past. They are going to avoid us. I'm very curious to know why. I tried to get Trent Fraser, who's the interim CEO,
right,
on the show. I asked for him, just got a email back saying, hey, announcement forthcoming. Like, what happened there? How they lost the major Midway, North American Midway. And rumblings are that it's going to be a much smaller Midway this year. So looking forward to getting some answers. And of course, from a kid standpoint, they're going to be pumped to hear about some details, the Queen City X return. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Bartel, 980 CJME Newsroom. Back here in a moment with Kevin, 6:58. Well, we previously told you, and I know if you're a parent of kids in the Regina Public School System, perhaps a little concern about band programs. Are they going to change next school year? The division is in the midst of working out next year's budget and looking for places to cut, and band teachers have been told cuts are coming to the program and that there's no clear plan yet on how instruction will look. The public school division said it's still working out the details. They are working on aligning its programs and services with the provincial government's education strategy, which is focused on early years literacy, more space for students, and classroom complexity, all of which are tied to funding. Now, judging from the response of many parents, many outspoken, including some teachers, too, concerned about the possible cuts. And so is my next guest, my friend, my musical conductor at the Regatta Symphony Orchestra, Mr. Gordon Gerard, who joins me now. Maestro, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Welcome again. Gordon, you were quick to share an open letter to the Regatta Public School Board expressing your own concern about this. Why?
Well, you know, it's super important, obviously, for us as musicians, you know, all the musicians in the orchestra, you know, for me. But it's bigger than just musicians. You know, I know that every kid who takes music lessons is not going to be a professional musician. But what music does to help us build the next generation of good people, of good citizens, that to me is the most important part. And it always feels a bit like music and the arts is considered an extra, and I want people to think twice about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because I was just even reflecting this morning how when I went to high school, we had band, and I didn't really enjoy band, but there was a moment where we were introduced to the guitar. And to this very day, I still like playing the guitar. I'm not amazing at it. I'm just adequate, and I enjoy it. So it inspires. But I would imagine, too, for you at the Regatta Symphony, there are some musicians on your stage who wouldn't be there without first being inspired in school band, would they?
Oh, absolutely. I would think, I mean, I've never taken an actual poll, but I think the majority of people, school band was a part of the journey, whether it was the introduction or whether it was, you know, they were already taking music lessons because of their parents. But school band has been a part of all of our journeys, including my own.
I love Gordon. Gordon Gerard's my guest from the RA show. I love how in your letter you take a moment to express how musical education enhances and literally develops a student. What sort of benefits come from it?
Well, I mean, there are so many ways in which the study of music, it helps people develop different pathways. And, you know, you talk about the way that kids learn to interact with the world around them. That, of course, includes specific things like language schools. But, you know, there are other pathways, and the ability to create music alone and more specifically together is huge. It's about social skills. It's about problem solving. It's about finding confidence. You know, I think for a lot of kids who are great at sports is a way to find confidence when you're a kid. I was not that guy. I was terrible at all of them. So music was the way for me to find my place in the world and to find a sense of self.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Cognitive skills, right, too? Like, man, when they hand you a recorder, suddenly you got to figure out how to use that thing? I'm telling you, it was difficult, but I found a way. You know, on your letter and your post on your Facebook page, you also shared a link to a petition. Now, this was started by parents, or you're endorsing it, or was it started by you? Can you clarify?
Yeah, I did not start the petition. It was circulated by a concerned parent, or started by concerned parents, and it's I think, important for people to know in the community, you know, the school board at the government level, that there are lots of folks that are concerned about this. And so I urge people to check it out, to add their names, because I think there are more people out there that are concerned about this than maybe some folks realize.
Gordon Gerard from the Regatta Symphony Orchestra into his final season. He's got a year to go before he leaves for good after 10 years. And there you are, concerned for our community. And that's one of the reasons you were a huge success for the last 10 years. And we will miss you in the end. But I know we got lots of concerts coming up here. By the way, what is the next big show for the RSO? You might as well take a moment to plug, Gordon. Come on, please.
Well, since I'm here, absolutely. we're sort of off for the summer now, actually. We finished our last concert. And so now we're back. In September, the first big concert is John Williams' Trombone Concerto and Dvorak's Seventh Symphony.
Okay.
September 20th. So come and join us.
And there's lots of great things too beyond that. And I encourage everyone to go online now and get your tickets or your season pass. Gordon, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Such an upbeat, happy song. All but the kiss describes our relationship. Evan Bray, you know what I mean?
Our relationship.
Well, it's just so upbeat and happy, that song. Here we go. This is the last chance I get to chat with you for a few weeks. Yeah, I'm taking a couple weeks vacation off here.
What for? You're watching the Oilers. Growing a beard, watching the Oilers. Is that what it is?
That's something I've never done. Grow a beard in my life. Never, ever. But I'm probably going to watch a little hockey.
Oh, I guess.
It was just, it's perfectly timed
good
that
stuff.
Way. That's for sure.
Yeah,
now,
for sure.
You and I, we went to game 6 last year, and quite the experience. We got tickets on what they call the ticket drop. If you follow the Oilers, mm-hmm. they text, okay, holdbacks or let go. And we literally got
lucky.
It was
a mad scramble.
And we paid, I think, last year individually $900 to get
that
game.
I was going to say 8, but yeah, somewhere in there.
So this year we said, okay, if it goes 7, let's try to get to a game 7. When they put these tickets on last week, we all tried, right?
Right. We try. It was crazy. I mean, you're in the queue, but they tell you how many people are ahead of you, and it's winding down. And then by the time it got to my turn, sold out.
Yeah. And me too. Yet your son, he was busy trying to get tickets for game 5.
Game 5. That's right. He secured tickets to game 5. So we will be going to that.
Yes.
Looking forward to game 5. He's got a couple of buddies that he wants to take with us as well. So that's Father's Day weekend.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? What a gift for you, a Stanley Cup. So well, I am now cheering. I don't think they'll do it in 5.
I think there's a possibility.
I am cheering for that to happen, for you to be there. But if there's a game 7, I'm going to try again for game 7.
Yeah. It would be good. But
how much are you willing to pay for game 7?
Well, that's the thing. Like, tickets are crazy. They're saying tickets are up 8 to 10 grand potentially for game 7.
When we tried to get tickets for game 7, they were $1,100 for nosebleeds. And of course,
I mean, I think I'd pay $1,100 for game 7.
I would too, but now people are trying to get $3,500 for a nosebleed seat, just one ticket. So, Cup Run starts tomorrow. Let's get to it. The premiers met the Prime Minister yesterday. Mm-hmm. Listen to this love fest.
I want to thank Prime Minister Carney for providing us this offer, not only of a First Minister's meeting, but for providing the offer for us to host it here in Saskatoon.
I'd like to just follow you all the time in making remarks, because I just want to reinforce everything the Premier just said. It's absolutely correct.
And I might have to form a new party.
Yes, that's true. There may, maybe not every single time.
Might have to form a new party. Yeah, I like that. I mean, it seems as if the relationship is moving along nicely. Each one of these, of course, a building block. He has the phone call. Now they have the meeting. We'll see. Rubber hits the road now. Do we get legislation that incentivizes these projects, and do the projects align with what the province wants? That's the question.
And it seemed even there was a little give and take from Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, too.
Yeah, right.
Although when the talk of pipeline, she really was adamant it's got to be private, probably. And
I was disappointed with BC. You know,
nothing's happening with pipelines, was their message.
Yeah,
so let's
but
do
I mean,
what
it,
we can
to
now,
me,
yeah.
it wasn't exactly a yes, we're on board with Team Canada approach.
I felt the same.
Yeah.
I felt. And Quebec, of course.
And it's kind of stupid to me that their premier wasn't there.
Yeah.
He said, he had a business trip or a trade mission or something like that. This is a pretty big meeting. They're saying this could be one of the most historic first minister's meetings in recent history in Canada. I think he should have been there. But anyway, nonetheless, I've got Premier Scott Moe joining me just after 8:30 this morning. So looking forward to hearing firsthand what it was like being in the room, his feeling. Was this a historic meeting, and how optimistic is he that it's going to meet the needs of Saskatchewan?
Okay, Evan Bray coming up at 8:30. I think we'll get Ontario Premier Doug Ford to sing us out, as he sang going in yesterday.
Love is in the air.